In fact, as I look at God's word, in fact, as I recall the responsibility that God has given me to ministry, as I recall the incredible fellowship that I have with believers, finding encouragement. You see, a church who ministers, a church who loves, is a church who finds hope in Christ.
Thank you for listening to the Catlin Baptist Church podcast with Pastor David Van Beber. In his sermon titled, Be Like Jesus, Brother Day preached from the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. We hope you will be encouraged by Brother Day's message, and we hope you will join us again next week for another powerful sermon.
Well, Crystal, thank you. I just want to see if everyone caught the same thing I did there. We started with God's Word. We sang a song about God's Word is truth. Then we moved to, after we had looked at God's Word and experienced God's Word, an opportunity to what? Have faith in God. And after that, we asked to see God work. And after we asked to see God work, we then praised God. He keeps me singing. And then we stood before a holy God. That was pretty awesome. Wasn't that awesome? Maybe some of us were not as keen to some of the styles of music. Maybe some people don't really. I'll bet, Faith, you probably don't have on your iPod any organ music, do you? I don't either. But wasn't it great that we could worship together as one? You see, there's a really interesting thing that happens in Acts chapter 13, if you want to turn with me over there. And I believe it directs some of what we're doing here today. I have been preaching through Acts because I love the way that the church interacts in Acts. And today, I wanted to kind of jump off of the normal routine because today I am really excited for us to license Danny to youth ministry. So that's a kind of a special thing. And so I guess I am delving into a little bit of a charge for Danny, but also a little bit of a charge for our church as we license. I looked in our churches, you know, we had that great history book that Anna Myrtle put together about 10 years ago for the church, and we've licensed a few different folks, Dan Henry, and then there's another gentleman, and then, of course, we have this nice record of a gentleman being licensed to go serve as a chaplain in the Navy. But I don't think that our church has ever licensed someone specifically for youth ministry. If I've got Anna Myrtle's shake. No, we haven't. So this is a first. And so it's a pretty awesome thing. In Acts chapter 13, I want to look at verses 2 through 4 before we get into the sermon text, because I think that that kind of directs the way things should be going. It says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then, when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So today, we're going to set aside a person for ministry, and that's pretty cool. I love that. And that's actually, at the end, I'll call Danny forward, and I'll have our deacons and deacons in training, so you guys get to be a part of it too. And we're going to lay hands on Danny and pray for him as he begins to minister. But also, a church is responsible for those that they call into ministry. And we had a little bit of an issue. You see, I have my licensing certificate right here, okay? I brought it up here, and it's kind of coffee-stained. I think I spilt coffee on it one time. I'm really serious. But I didn't forget. My wife had the license that we were going to use for Danny. And she took it with her to Illinois, and then she sent it back, but it's not there. But, you know, there's something that's really interesting about my license. It says Crossroads Baptist Church, right? And so from here on out, Danny, I don't know if you're going to be like me and hang it in your office. I hang it because it reminds me of my call, right? My dad has his hanging in his bedroom, right? I don't know where you're going to put yours up, but I am going to give you the exact frame here, actually, because I thought that'd be kind of a cool little thing to do. It's going to go with you. The church is going to go with you. Folks, as a responsibility, what happened here in Acts 2? They prayed for this person. And we can read in Acts how the church supported Paul over and over again. And we can read in Philippians. In fact, our text today is in Philippians chapter 2. If you want to turn with me over to Philippians chapter 2. I think that there's a responsibility that a church has. A church has a responsibility to support those who they put on the mission field. I'm going to be as unbaptistic as possible because I want to spend a little bit more time praying for Danny. And then also, I really believe that tonight and today we need to spend a special time praying for some other members of our church. And so I really want to be sure that we actually end today in prayer in a little bit different way than normal. So a little unbaptistic, Philippians chapter 2, and let's stand in honor of God's word today. Wasn't it great today in the Sunday school lesson when Ezekiel, right? We are in Nehemiah chapter 8. I don't know if the other classes, but in Nehemiah chapter 8, they stand when they read God's word. Ken, did you get that in your Sunday school lesson? Man, I thought that was so awesome. It's biblical to stand when we look at God's word. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but in humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you. We ask that you will speak. We ask that we will then respond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here it is. Philippians chapter 2. Give you a little bit of background. In Acts chapter 16, on the second missionary journey, Paul and Silas go to this place. In fact, it says that Paul has a vision at night in Acts chapter 16, and a man says, come to Macedonia. Now, what's really interesting is, of course, Paul goes and Silas goes, and here they are in Macedonia, Philippi particularly, and they go on a Saturday, because it would have been the Lord's day then, because they were Jews, to pray. And there is no synagogue in Philippi. So what Jewish tradition would generally be is that if there were 10 Jewish men in a city, then there would be a synagogue built. It might be a small one, might be more like a trailer, right? House church type of thing. But there was a place where the men could worship. And Paul and Silas cannot find one. So what do? Well, the Jews had the other tradition of going outside of the city gate then. And so they go outside of the city gate and they run into a group of women, it says. In fact, it's really clear there in Acts 16 that it is women, in fact, that they meet. And they meet a lady. And it says that the Lord, in Acts 16, opened up Lydia's heart and she responded. We spent a little more time in Philippi. Paul and Silas do, and then they get followed around by this lady who has a demon in her, an evil spirit in her. And so Paul finally gets fed up in Acts 16, and he says, get out of her. So the evil spirit leaves. And everyone's happy, right? Oh, they're so happy they throw Paul and Silas in prison. And while Paul and Silas sit in prison, in fact, it says they put them into the inner prison in Acts 16, which means the really bad part. And in fact, they were so bad, they chained them to the wall. And Paul and Silas, what do? They begin praising God. And there's an earthquake, and it opens up the prison doors, and the chains fall off. And there's a jailer who's about to kill himself. And Paul says, don't do it. Nobody's escaped. And then the jailer says, what do I need to do to be saved? And of course, it says that he was saved that night. Him and his household believed and were baptized. Key thing there is that believed and were baptized in Acts 16. Everyone who believed was baptized, not just everybody, right? Everyone who believed. You can't disconnect the two. So Paul now moves on, but he had an affinity. In fact, most Bible commentators, Black and Lay and Haley, all write that the tone of Philippians is a tone of encouragement. Paul is now, fast forward a little bit, into Acts. And at the end of Acts, Paul is in prison. He's in prison for doing the same thing that he did in Philippi, right? And he's awaiting trial, but he doesn't stop speaking. And the church at Philippi sends a man to him. And the church at Philippi encourages him and gives him, of course. And back in the Roman system, if you were in prison, they weren't just so happy to give you food and a hot, you know, three hots and a cot. Isn't that what they say? Right? They weren't doing that in Rome. You had to support yourself. And so the church at Philippi is supporting their brother in Christ, Paul. And so he writes a letter, and this is the letter, the second chapter. And here we are. So let's unpack a little bit of this letter of encouragement. Now, church, let's think about it. You see, I love Philippians because a church that Paul had planted, a church that Paul had been a part of, a church that he had ownership in, continued to encourage and support him, right? See, it's a really important thing. So if you're a member of this church, and today we're going to license, because we actually voted at a business meeting to license Danny, you have an incredible responsibility. We're going to have an incredible responsibility to pray for our deacons. And September 27th is when we decided to have our ordination. I want to invite everyone to that. But also today, as we license a man for the ministry, we do so with, in my very humble opinion and the example that we see, with a responsibility. So let's unpack a little bit of Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul begins, "If there is any encouragement in Christ." Folks, I don't know about you, but I have a great encouragement in Jesus Christ. In fact, as I look at God's Word, in fact, as I recall the responsibility that God has given me to ministry, as I recall the incredible fellowship that I have with believers, I find encouragement. You see, a church who ministers, a church who loves, is a church who finds hope in Christ. Do we find hope in Christ? Man, I hope so. My hope is in Christ. And Paul knew that there was hope. He had experienced the hope that was there in Christ. You see, believers are Christ's children. In Ephesians, it says you've been adopted. And in John chapter 1, verse 12, John writes, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Is there any fellowship, any compassion? Paul says to his church, to those he loved, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent in one purpose." Folks, the best thing that could be said about a church, to me, is not that they're a loving church, is not that they're a church that gives, is that they're a loving church. A loving church defines a church. We can see the church in Philippi that loved Paul, loved each other, and gave generously to Paul, and cared for their members. Folks, do we love each other? Do we love those that we call to ministry, that we empower to ministry? If we have hope in Christ, we've been unified, and therefore we do. Fellowship in the Spirit. Folks, as a church, we must love each other. We must love being together. You see, Paul knew that those folks at Philippi many times, even early, met in a hostile place and lived in a hostile world. In fact, the charges against Paul in Acts are that he was invoking a rebellion against the Roman Empire. So the church had a rocky, rocky beginning, but they had a fellowship in spirit. Are we a church that fellowships? Let's move down to verse 3. You know, I love this verse. I memorized it in the NIV. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or in vain conceit, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. Folks, we live in a world where it's about me and mine. Me and mine. Paul didn't live that way, Danny. It's hard. That's a hard verse. Deacons, that's going to be a hard verse for you too. It's not about me and mine. Many times you're going to find yourself inconvenienced. You see, Paul was inconvenienced. He was not apathetic to inconvenience. And boy, he had a lot more. It was a lot harder for him to minister because he had people always against him. And he spoke to a hostile world. But you see, those who've had an experience with Christ realize that the most important thing isn't me and mine. That things must be done out of a selfless love. Church, selflessly love one another. You know what? A church that selflessly loves one another is not a church that we need to sit and hammer down, be missional, be missional, be missional. Because they love one another and they love the lost so much that they can't help but speak. Boy, as you pray for Danny, as I've charged you to pray for Danny, pray that you help, that you pray that he will be a man who considers others more important than himself. And of course, it starts right in the home, and then it moves out from there. Verse 4, not trying to be too Baptistic, so I'm finishing it up here. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Are we a selfless people? Are we a selfless people? See, I'd rather know and hear of your love for each other than for someone to come to the church every time the doors are open. I'd rather know that you love each other. I'd rather know that you care about each other. I'd rather know that you know each other. You see, I'll tell you something that I notice. Those that I spend more time with, when they hurt, I hurt. Those whose I'm connected to as a brother in Christ are those who I can hurt with and empathize with. You see, we live pretty busy lives, don't we? Anyone here have a full schedule? Even retired folks have a full schedule. You notice that? We always got something to do. We always got things vying for our interest, vying for our time. Those who love Christ embrace the time that He has given to them. You know what? Not everyone is going to be a pastor, thankfully. Not everyone is going to get to be a youth minister. Not everyone's going to get to be principal. Not everyone's going to get to be a farmer. Not everyone's going to get to be the mayor. But minister where you have been placed. You see, Paul was a tent maker. You know, here's the thing that's really interesting. I want to call attention to this. It's a little historical thing. Paul says that he was the student of Gamaliel, right? And he does this in Acts when he speaks the last time. Gamaliel was one of the most highly regarded Jewish teachers. He was like, you know, I don't know who you all consider great teachers, right? But he was like the teacher out at Princeton or the teacher at Harvard or Yale that was the most highly regarded. And Paul studied under him. But what did Paul end up doing? Making tents. That was his job. You realize that, right? The man called to the ministry made tents. The man who was a scholar made tents. You see, folks, we need to minister as we go. We need to pray that Danny, as opportunities open up at work. You see, someone probably asked you tonight because you work the night shift, right? So someone prays, hey, Danny, what'd you do yesterday? Well, I was licensed to the ministry. Oh, wow. Then once he does that, everyone's going to be looking at him critically. You think I'm joking? I'm not, right? Folks, as a church, can we rejoice in the fellowship of the Spirit? Can we love one another? Can we do things that are not selfless, that are not selfish, but selfless?
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church, and to share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.